Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Tessie.
And we are sisters-in-law. We're also hosts of this podcast where we enter into conversation with women who are quietly and humbly, in their own unique ways, making their corner of the earth just a little bit better each and every day. You've never heard of them because they're not on billboards or in magazines or on TV, but we think they deserve just as big of a platform so that you can hear their stories and perhaps be inspired by them to move through life with joy and compassion. Today on the podcast, we are bringing you Gervaise Colmos, who is exactly one of those women. Gervaise is a mommy to one daughter, and she's pregnant with another baby coming soon. During her first pregnancy, she experienced postpartum depression, and instead of hiding her anxiety and depression, she sought help.
Yeah, since then she has used that experience to coach other women on how to live their best lives as well. Leslie, it's a common theme here on the Mama Bear Dares podcast. Our guests have often experienced a tragedy or a life-altering situation, and instead of crumbling, well, maybe they crumbled a little bit or for a short time, but they use that tragedy to triumph. In her role as a life coach, Gervaise sees this idea of sharing, or she calls it oversharing all the time, but really just sharing her own struggles as a way of encouraging other people to share theirs as well, to no longer hiding what's hurting them and maybe, you know, doing something unproductive with that pain, but really just coming out of the woodwork and, you know, offering their own story to hopefully motivate other people to then share theirs and then to seek help together or with each other in community. And I know you've experienced something like this before.
Yeah, I love how Gervaise talks about just that Me Too factor. It reminds me of a C.S. Lewis quote, and he says, "Friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, 'What? You too? I thought I was the only one.'" And so listening to Gervaise and hearing her story really inspired me. As you know, Tessie, I've had my own struggles with depression and anxiety, and it's something that's still kind of hard for me to talk about, but it's so real, and it's something I've dealt with my entire life, and it really amped up after Oliver was born. Like Gervaise, I experienced a lot of those symptoms. I recognized that something was wrong. I had thoughts of harming my child and myself. I had panic attacks. I was crying a lot, and I'm not really a crier. Like, I'm kind of a rock, but I was crying a lot. And I had this anxiety, and so I sought therapy. And it was the best thing I could have done. Again, it kind of creeped into my life when we moved to Iowa from Chicago. My second born was 8 months old, and I felt those patterns once again. And this time I sought both therapy and I started taking Zoloft. When I finally got the courage to see my doctor, I'll never forget, he said, "If you had a broken arm, we would fix that. This is real. We need to heal you." So I was really hesitant about doing any sort of drug therapy, but I started the talk therapy again, and I started taking Zoloft. And honestly, I never fully realized how happy and clear I could actually be. I think I'm pretty good at hiding all of this darkness from the world. You know, I can turn it on in a crowd. I can meet you in the store and somehow just summon the energy to make you think that everything is absolute roses. But it makes me feel better to be real. And I guess I'm sharing with you today because of Gervaise and how she says, you know what, it's the Me Too factor. So there might be someone out there who is experiencing these things, and I just want them to know, like, they're not alone. In fact, the patterns have started emerging again in my life, and for a while I've been trying to distract myself with planning a big trip Mm-hmm. These are like some of my tricks that I do. I start running more because I know exercise is good for me. Mm-hmm. I, you know, it does make me feel better. These are all good things to do, but they don't heal what's broken. And so after Gervais's conversation and some conversations with a few of my most trusted, I realized that although I continue to take Zoloft, I need to see my therapist again. Mm-hmm. So I actually have an appointment today. I haven't gone in a while. And yeah, it's a thing. And it's something that I appreciate Gervais talking about. She gave me the courage to talk about it here. And so, you know, I don't want to hide from that darkness anymore.
Well, and the biggest thing, I know you have talked before, is that listeners, maybe you don't feel those depths yet, but you have stressed it's actually better to get in line with a therapist you know and trust when you're not at your lowest low. Because when you're at your lowest low, then you don't really have the energy that it takes to find a therapist that you really connect with. So you have stressed, you know, just when you start seeing the patterns emerge, that's when you really should go back. Not when you've let the patterns go on for months and months in hopes that they'd go away, but go when you have the energy to go.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there is nothing more exhausting when you're kind of in those throes of depression than having to tell your story to someone. Right. I mean, even this time where I know my therapist, I've been seeing her forever, it took a lot of energy for me to call and make that appointment. And that was already set. And I know today, like, she already knows what's going on, you know, it's not, but it's still like, it takes so much effort and so much energy. So yeah, just kind of, I would encourage everyone to see a therapist, to get therapy. Because we all have our things, you know, and talking helps for sure.
Well, and I think therapy can often show you what your patterns are. It just holds up a mirror to those things. Sometimes we don't know when kind of the depression or the anxiety is coming on until we are able to really evaluate, oh, these are patterns. Like, you texted me the other day and like just eating a muffin, waiting in line to pick up the kids. And I was like, oh, you must be going on a big trip.
Yeah, it was a jumbo muffin, like kind of uncharacter, like that I had just bought at the grocery store and peeled from the package.
Yeah. So that's my point. I bet, Mama Bears, that your close friends know your patterns. I almost guarantee they know when you're starting to really slip. So if you don't know them yet, ask your really trusted loved ones, hey, are there signs you see in me when I start kind of retreating into myself that maybe I can start to identify before that happens so that you can schedule that appointment again before you're too deep, right?
Yeah.
But I just want to just thank you for sharing that, sister. I know you're going to help so many people just, if no other reason, feel less alone. Hopefully to schedule an appointment if that's what's needed. But for any other purpose than, you know, maybe it's just saying like, oh, me too. I just wanted to point out one more part because I think they're kind of linked, right? Gervais talks about the soul tribe. We've talked a lot about the power of a tribe of women on this podcast, but the way Gervais describes the soul tribe is perfect. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going through something right now, maybe Zoloft is exactly what you need, or maybe it's just your soul tribe, or maybe it's both. So either way, Mama Bears, thanks for letting us be a part of your soul tribe. We think of you every time we create content for this podcast because we take our job of reminding you that you're loved and a vital part of this global community very seriously. So Leslie, what do you think? Should we drop into our really great conversation with Gervais?
Let's do. Gervais Colmos is an entrepreneur who was inspired by her time as a new mom to create a safe space for fellow moms to love, support, and encourage one another. Thus, shinyhappyhuman.com was born. Gervais Gervais is a certified life coach for moms and helps women make themselves and their husbands a priority, even in the thick of motherhood. Gervais, welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast.
Thanks, guys. So happy to be here.
Yeah, we are so happy. Great. Yeah.
It's great to have you. So, Gervais, let's get right down to it. You became a mom in 2013. Mm-hmm. So, one thing that we have loved about your website and the sharing that you do there is just how authentic you are in the way that you talk about motherhood. So, what was the most shocking thing to you about motherhood when you became a mom a couple years back?
I love how you say, like, the sharing, and my first thing is thinking, like, the oversharing that I do over at Shiny Happy Human. The thing that was the most shocking to me as a new mom was just that all of the, I call them, like, the dark human moments that I experienced that I was not planning to experience. Like, I think I was kind of bracing for postpartum depression because, you know, you, like, read about it and you hear about it, and depression runs in my family. So I was, like, I was kind of, like, that was on my radar. But there's a lot of other weird stuff that happens when you kind of become a mom. The anxiety that was kind of, like, the tip-off to the postpartum depression. But even before then, just the anxiety of, like, trying to maintain it all, of, you know, the scheduling, like, when's the last time they ate, and, oh gosh, they're crying again, and just kind of getting used to that normal routine, making that, like, your new normal, and all the human things that come along with that. I mean, absolutely, it's doable. Women do it every day, and you adjust and get used to it, and also that period doesn't last forever. But I think what we don't talk about is, like, how it actually affects you on an emotional and psychological level. And so for me, I was like, I'm going crazy. Does anybody else feel this way? Like, yeah, I know I'll get through it. Yeah, I know that this isn't depression, but, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And why has nobody talked to me about this before?
Yeah. So were you first among your friends to have a baby, or were people just not talking about the hard things?
I had one really, like one or two really good friends who had had a baby, but, I was among the first. And on top of that, I mean, you know, all of my friends are really different, and I am the oversharer, right? Like, I'm the one with extra feelers who's super sensitive and cries at the drop of a hat. And so
high five, Skype, high five.
Air five. So yeah, I think, like, I mean, in after the fact, I've now shared a lot more with my one friend who was the first to have a baby, and she was like, well, yeah, like, that happened to me too. Like, yeah, I felt that too. And she's just kind of like a grin and bear it kind of chick. And she's awesome. She's, like, one of my most favorite people on the planet. But that's just not her thing, you know. And I think a lot of women are like that. They just are like, well, this is a crappy time. I'm just going to get through it and try and have a smile on my face, you know, not inconvenience anybody. And that's just not my gig.
Okay.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
When you talked about the anxiety, I remember I was actually just looking at, my oldest is 13, and I was just looking at him eat breakfast today, and he has, like, that jaw thing, you know, when you can see their jaw working. And I said to him, when you were, like, 2 days old, I actually sat up at, like, 3 a.m. and bawled my face off, because I'm like, don't let a single thing happen to this kid, nothing. And I just was, like, calling out to whoever in the world was awake at 3 a.m. But that's what, like, no one told me you'd have these weird, like you said, the weird happened to you. So I think there's some normal weird that probably does happen to everybody, but you're pretty open about, you know, how you struggled with postpartum depression too. So do you want to talk a little about that?
Sure. Let's just go for it. Along with the anxiety, I went back to work after 3 months of maternity leave. And that was really, really a shock for me. Probably that would be like the second most shocking thing after becoming a mom, because I had seen women around me do it. Like, I had seen women in my office do it, and I asked them a lot of questions like, how is it, you know? And they were just kind of like, yeah, this is just what you do. Like, there wasn't a super excited response. It was just like, yeah, it's fine. Like, yeah, it's fine. This is how it works. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, this is how it works. So I just went to be like all the other normal human beings, and once again was like slap in the face, like, no, of course I gotta make it difficult. So that just didn't work for me. So the inherent fact that just didn't work for me, that was just not gonna work for me. Plus, I think my high risk for depression, and then juggling the working and the commuting to work and the baby crying the whole way there and then leaving my baby, and that transition altogether just really took its toll on me. And so about, I don't know if it was like a month or 2 months in, probably a month in, I started seeing a therapist. And then a couple weeks into that, she was like, how long are you gonna let me wait before I write you a prescription? And I was like, what are you talking about? I am fine. I have got this under control. Like, I can handle this. I'm making some changes in my, you know, my childcare situation, and that's going to fix everything. And I'm just a little overwhelmed. And then 2 weeks later, I like sat in her office and I was like, write me the prescription. I can't do this. So, you know, it just got worse and worse and worse. And it was, the things that stand out about it for me are a lot of crying. So I like to share this because I think women oftentimes don't know when they have postpartum depression, mm-hmm. because they think mm-hmm. that if they don't want to hurt their baby, then they're fine. They're just a little stressed, right?
Oh.
And I never wanted to hurt my baby, honestly. Like, I mean, maybe a couple times I was like, shut up. Like, I wanted her to stop crying, right, sort of thing, like frustrated. But it was never, that was never one of the signs. It was more anxiety than anything else. Crying all the time. Like, I cried in the morning before I went to work. I cried when I came home from work. I felt like it took Herculean energy to put pants on every morning. And I joke, but like, truly, my motto at this time in my life was just put pants on. Because I was like, if I can get these pants on, then I might like get into my car. And if I can get into my car, then I might get to work. And if I can get to work, I can get through the day, right? But that like feeling like you're really just like dragging, that super low energy was another big sign for me. Lots of arguments with my husband, not even arguments, just kind of not feeling like I had the space or energy for that relationship, because I was just trying to take care of myself and the baby, you know? So all of those things combined, compacted by the environmental factor of working after not working, just was, I call it, what did I call it in my last newsletter? Like the perfect post-pregnancy cocktail for like postpartum depression. You know, it was just like,
yeah,
the perfect environment to create that.
So do you think that people, you know, when you are openly talking about postpartum depression and you know, getting therapy, both talk therapy and drugs, is it something that people around you still kind of bristle at? Or what do you find, like, where you're at? Is that something that women talk openly about? Or is it still kind of this hard conversation that no one really wants to have?
I think it's a hard conversation. Nobody, including myself, wants to be the one who is messed up, who's, like, doing it wrong, who couldn't soldier on and figure this whole parenting thing out. So, you know, it's a mix. I have women who write to me and are like, oh, my God, thank you so much. You know, what you described is exactly what I was feeling. I have good friends that I've spoken to postpartum and been like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I think that you have a little bit of postpartum depression, you know, like, are you willing to go see somebody about it? And they're kind of like, oh, I just thought I was miserable. Or, oh, I just thought this was like a really hard time. And I was like, yeah, it is a really hard time. and you don't have to suffer, right? Like, it's, there are ways that you can help yourself. And I think the first thing, the first step is awareness all the time. And aside from the stigma, which depending on who you're talking to, like if I'm talking to a friend or somebody on my email newsletter, like they're already receptive. They know the gig. But aside from that, like the awareness of just knowing what it is and what it looks like and what your options are and how normal it is that 1 in 5 women deal with it, and how it works chemically, that it's, you know, the hormones in your body post-pregnancy that really cause it, plus knowing your risk factors and environmental factors, all of those things, the education piece is really, I think, lacking in our society in general. But awareness, I found, is the key, because once somebody is like, oh, I'm miserable, wait, this could be postpartum, oh, like, so maybe I should talk to somebody, oh, I deserve to get support around this, and then sometimes that's all it takes for them to start feeling a lot better, you know?
Yeah. I hope we don't contribute to it, but there is also pressure on moms to, like, immediately bond to their baby and immediately, like, I don't want to use our phrase because our phrase, but, like, mama bear, like, the baby's going to be born and then you're going to immediately feel all these loving things to want to protect it. But the reality is, like you said, there are sometimes chemical things happening, not to mention, like, hormones are tricky, tricky little things, you know, that if you've never experienced them before, if you've never had a baby before, they can blindside you. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love on your website is, you know, that you've built a community there. So when you were in the thick of postpartum, was there anything your community, whether online or in person, could have done better to support you, just for any mamas who are out there maybe and see their friends going through this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the biggest thing that I teach, and I've done some group coaching programs for new mothers, and it's the Me Too factor. That's just what I call it, the Me Too. And it's just like raising your hand when somebody is oversharing or spilling their guts and saying, hey, me too. I felt the same way. I am feeling the same way. This is my experience. Because I think there's something really powerful about sharing your own experience in a safe space. So yeah, the Me Too factor, I think we don't have a lot. There's not a lot of opportunities as new moms for us to hear Me Too. And that's not like to point the finger at anybody. And I don't think, like you guys said, like, oh, maybe I hope we don't contribute to this. And I think the mama bear thing really just goes to show, like, there is a mama bear in all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we all have that. But just knowing that it's okay if you don't have it all the time. It's okay that you're having, like, a human moment or a period in your life. Maybe it's postpartum, and maybe it's not even postpartum. Maybe it's just, like, down the line where you're just, the struggle is real, right? Mm-hmm. And so having a community to support you no matter what, and who says, like, me too, I've experienced this, or me too, I have bad days too, and also can reflect back to you, you're doing a great job. Like, you're still a mama bear, right? Like, still a great mom. This is actually what a human being looks like. They're not, they have good days and bad days and seasons sometimes of different stages.
It's interesting how there often is a lack of just meeting with one another, like finding mom friends. Mm-hmm. And so you've created this online community, like a mom's group online. Do you see that playing out in the flesh as well? I mean, where would you tell new mamas to find their people?
So this is something I've kind of experimented with, and I feel like there is so much room to explore it even more for me and my immediate community, because for me, I was pretty lucky. Like, I honestly have a couple cousins that live in the same town as I do, and I pretty much hang out with them all the time. and one of them has 2 kids, and that's like, she's like my person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you need a person for sure.
True.
And then but then I, the way that I work is I've just built a lot of little communities. So I think a lot of people put pressure for one mom friend to be your everything friend. Mm-hmm. So I would advise, like, find a mom friend that you can go out with, and then find a mom friend who, like, I have a mom friend who lives a few blocks away from me, who her daughter goes to the same school as my daughter, and she's awesome. Like, she's I can call her and say, hey, come over right now, bring some wine. You know what I mean? Like, or like, hey, we're going to the playground by your house, do you want to come? Mm-hmm. And it's just the convenience of that, but also she's somebody that I can just show up and she'll be like, oh man, you having a day? And I'm like, yes, I'm having a day. Like, you know, like keep it real friend. And then you have the mom friend who's got all the resources, who you call or email and you're like, what's the name of that sippy cup? And
right.
Like, yeah. Links. And you're like, yeah. How do you have so much?
That was not me. That was not me.
That's not
me neither.
But
they exist.
Yeah. But yeah, but see, and I think it's that, just like having those different circles, mm-hmm. for different different things. And also, worth mentioning is that friend who I mentioned who lives in my neighborhood. People are like, well, how did you meet her? And I met her before I had any friends in my neighborhood, and I literally was walking past her with a stroller. She was with her husband. Her daughter was in the stroller. I was with my husband. My daughter's in the stroller. And I looked at her daughter and I was like, our kids are totally the same age. And I grabbed the stroller from my husband and I like veered it over. And I was like, come, we're going this way. We're going to talk to these people. And I was like, hey, do I have a little girl? We have a little girl. How old is she? Like two? Ours is two. Do you guys live around here? So do we. And I literally forced her to be my friend.
Hey, that's fine.
And it worked. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you got to be kind of aggressive.
You do. And you can realize, like, babies are the best conversation starters.
Babies and puppies.
I mean, babies and puppies. It's where it's at.
It's like, oh, how old is she? Mm-hmm. And then there's your... That's... Every conversation starts with, like, how old are they?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? So... Yeah, but no, I knew at that time when I met her, I was like, I need a friend who lives in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not the kind of person who does well just, like, sitting around by myself. Like, I'm social. So, you know, just going out and finding that, no matter, and being open to finding it, even just walking past somebody on the sidewalk, you know?
Yeah, you got to scare some people into being your friend. I've always firmly believed that.
You gotta try to run their stroller off the sidewalk, and
I was like, I will crack her. She will like me. That's and even right. If she doesn't, I live nearby, so I'm the convenience friend, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You know.
So tell us about Shiny Happy Human, and I'd love to hear about the name and when it all got started.
Okay, so the name was really just one of my best inventions ever. Because I think something that made me think of it is when I was going, at that time when I was going to therapy, my therapist had said, you know, you have to understand, like, from the outside, you seem really, like, shiny and happy. Like, people have no idea that you are dealing with what you're dealing with, unless they would, like, if they were to talk to you about it. You're just a very bubbly person. And you know, like I was saying, self-awareness, it's an interesting thing, because I was like, oh, I think of myself as super sensitive and lots of feelers, and my friends and my family always joke about this, but I realized in that moment, like, oh, like from the outside, I really am the super shiny, happy person. Mm-hmm. And that is real, right? Like, that's definitely part of who I am. I quit my job when my daughter was 6 months old, and it was kind of like I had, you know, gone through, started the meds, started to feel really much clearer. And while I was still really unhappy with my working situation, I also felt a sense of clarity around, okay, what are my options? What do I need to do? Because this isn't working. Like, what feels important? And it was, I just want to be a role model to my daughter. And I'm okay with being a working mom, but this is just the safe route, right? Like, this mm-hmm. is just comfortable, and I know that I can do something that will feel more fulfilling. So I quit my job and quit it with this intention to really be that role model and to be really open to finding the next thing. I didn't really have a plan other than to hustle really hard to just make ends meet. And I was like, I don't care if I have to waitress or bartend or whatever. If this is just about a paycheck, then I can make a paycheck and spend more time with my kid and not cry all day every day. You know what I mean? Like, I can change my life with letting go of, like, the perception of, like, what success looks like. At the same time, be really open to exploring the next thing and healing from this weird phase of my life. Mm-hmm. And so while I was exploring, I kept playing around with this thing. Like, I want to keep it real. I want to talk about the stuff that I've experienced in life, not just as a new mom, just in general. I've got, you know, everybody's got a lot of ups and downs, and I want to share them. I've always considered myself a writer. How can I write about the things that I want to write about? And I don't know, shiny, happy human just came one day, and people will joke and say, like, oh, like, don't tell the shiny, happy human I did that thing. And I'm like, no, they're adjectives, right? Like, I'm shiny, I'm happy, and I'm human. Like,
yes, that's why I love it. I love it.
Full range of the human experience. So, that's how I came up with the name. And then I just dove in, really with that intention to share it all, to overshare about, like, the full spectrum of what I was experiencing. And then it kind of just ended up being motherhood again and again and again. It's obviously a relevant topic. And so then it just turned into, okay, like, what do I want to create for mothers? Like, what kind of a space do I want to create for them? What kind of coaching programs do I want to create for them? What message do I want to send them? And that then it kind of evolved into, okay, well, the message I want to send is, let's celebrate the beautifully messy mommies like me, because, you know, like, your thing is mama bear. Like, my thing is, like, I think that I'm a great mom and I'm a hot mess. So, you know, if I'm a beautifully messy mommy and I'm celebrating that and I'm owning that and I feel confident and happy and light and, like, I'm living my best life and really taking advantage of this one incredible opportunity to be alive and to also be raising tiny humans, then maybe I can give other women permission to do the same. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how it's evolved from there.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think if people really think about it, they will notice that their most favorite stories of a person, or even literal stories like a book or a movie, it all comes from a struggle. There's the struggle, and then there's the beauty after the struggle. Absolutely. And when you're in the struggle, it's so hard to get that perspective of, like, this is going to end in something beautiful. But it is, you know, and maybe that's the next year. Maybe that's 10 years down the road. There's no promise of it happening immediately, but I know the people that I love so much have been through a struggle because they know what that's like. They know the depths and they know the highs, and they're able to embrace both.
Yeah, that's what the whole human experience is about, right? Like, mm-hmm. the highs and the lows. And I love that quote. I don't know who says it, but they say, you know, you can only connect the dots looking backwards too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like when you're in it, you're just like, you know, like at that time that we're talking about in my life, I was like, this is horrible. Like,
yeah.
And I had been through a couple really traumatic things before that, but this was like just a totally different flavor, right? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, thank goodness I had that struggle, because I would not be this person. I wouldn't have this business. I wouldn't be this role model. I wouldn't be so happy. I would none of it. You know, sometimes you have to, like, go to the valley to see the peak. So, so true what you were saying.
So when you were going through kind of the postpartum depression, and you obviously, like, some ways that you took care of yourself then was by seeing a therapist and saying okay to Zoloft. Mm-hmm. So you were nurturing yourself then. So even in the kind of the darkness, you realize, like, something's not right. I need to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. What do you continue to do now, you know, 3 years later? How do you take care of yourself in this place that you've landed?
So that's a great question. And I feel like there's layers to it because one of the things that I'm really passionate about is redefining self-care. Because I think people think self-care is a pedicure and like that's it. Or like a vacation to Bali, which is, I mean, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'd go right now.
Yeah, like it's going to happen. Don't get me wrong. However, I think there's like self-care of the mind, self-care of the body, self-care of the soul. And so an example is this past summer, I went on my first retreat with fellow entrepreneurs. So that's all of my retreats. I've been on three so far, and they've all been with entrepreneurs. But that was like nurturing this piece of me that felt very much isolated and like lacking. I just had this like lack mindset, and I was like, I need to be around other entrepreneurs. I've got the mommy thing down. So I went on this retreat, right? So having that experience, giving myself that experience was amazing. And then at this retreat, I met this woman who ended up becoming my life coach. So then I hired my own coach. So now we're talking about self-care of the mind and spirit and soul, right? Like she helped me on so many levels. And she also equipped me with the tools to take care of myself in mind, body, and soul. So for example, again, something that I learned that I use all of the time is like when you are having a human moment, as most moms have on the daily, but at least for me, it happens probably like every few weeks. If things are going great, I'm feeling really good, energized, happy. And then suddenly I just like hit a wall, and it's either I'm getting a little burnout, I've said yes to too many things, I like haven't hung out with my husband enough, or whatever it is, you hit this wall and then you wake up one morning and you're just like, oh, I feel heavy. I feel like a little depressed, like not clinically depressed, but you're just like, I'm just bumming, right? And those days, I think I used to drag them out for a long time because I just didn't have the tools to dig out of that hole myself without a therapist or a coach. And now I have things that I do, you know, for example, I remind myself, feel your feelings fully without judgment. Am I doing that, right? Like, what is this feeling? Oh, this feeling is guilt about not writing a blog post today. Like, okay, just like be there. Mm-hmm. Stop judging it. Because I think a lot of the times we have that feeling or guilt because like my kid watched 4 hours of TV today. Oh, I suck, whatever. And so then you just start to feel guilty and then you beat yourself up on top of that guilt.
Oh, yeah.
So then I should be doing this thing. Like, oh my God. And then you just spiral. You just spiral down.
Yeah.
Bottles of wine later, you're like, I'm a horrible person.
Every listener is shaking their head yes.
Yeah,
you're
describing my yesterday. Like, what?
That's just Tuesday.
My yesterday, if I wasn't pregnant. but so anyway, but that cycle I found, while totally, you know, part of the human experience, I think I used to, like I said, drag it out for longer. And there's a difference between being where you are and not judging it and staying where you are because you just don't know how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I kind of learned the difference and learned how to like process through all of that junk and come out the other side and just be like, okay, this is where I'm at. This feels really crappy. I'm really okay. Whatever. This is where I'm at. I'm going to own it. I'm not judging myself. It's okay. I'm a human being. It's fine. And I'm going to try again tomorrow. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just going to feel this. And I'm not going to like sit down at my desk and try to write a blog post. Because like, have you ever tried to do something when you have massive resistance? It's just a huge waste of time.
Yeah.
Right? So, or like try, you know, I'm really exhausted, but I know I should be playing with my kids. So I'm going to like start an art project. Like, no.
Terrible
that
idea.
That day, you let her watch TV and you just like sit there and veg out. And so giving yourself permission to do that without judging yourself is actually the quickest way to clear it. And then
yeah.
The next day you're like, all right, well, that's done. Like, what are we doing today? You know?
Right.
So to me, that is the most vital form of self-care that has served me over and over and over. as I've kind of been navigating my way through this whole motherhood journey that I learned from a coach. So,
well, I think it's great that you not only have brought up therapy. So I think a lot of people think that when you're down, the only person to go to if you're going to seek a professional is a therapist. Mm-hmm. But you've also brought up the idea of a life coach,
right,
as another person that you can actually speak with and to help you manage these things. I have a couple of friends who have spiritual advisors. And mm-hmm. so that's another person, like all of these kind of function in the same way. So, but I think a lot of people don't think about that. I think you think, oh, I need to go see, I have to get a therapist, which right. as we've discussed on previous episodes, like it's a lot of work. It's very exhausting. You're usually kind of rock bottom before you decide, mm-hmm. yeah, I should talk to someone. But like life coach and spiritual advice, you can do it online, you know, I mean, yeah. there's lots of ways to
Skype.
Yeah.
And it's just about, like, I think with coaching, and I mean, I have nothing against I've used therapists my whole life until right. I discovered coaching. And then I was like, well, what is this? This is mm-hmm. different and new. And I think of it as, like, therapy helped me to process a lot of old junk that, like, a lot of family stuff, the depression stuff. You know, therapists are the only people who can, you know, diagnosed depression, et cetera, even though I am very candid with women that I speak to, and I'll be like, you know, I think you actually need a therapist if I think mm-hmm. that they are clinically depressed. But my coach was also, she was, I don't know what she calls herself, honestly. Like, she's like a transformational spiritual right.
guru. We'll call her the guru.
Mm-hmm. She calls herself a modern mystic. Okay. So there was a little bit of magic there, and I was just like speaking to her about this, and I told her, I was like, I feel like you pulled out the magic in me, right? And it's that idea that like everybody has that magic in them. And so instead of feeling like heavy about it, like, okay, I'm depressed and I need to process my junk, it's like, okay, what's possible? Let's explore that, right? So like when I started working with my coach, it wasn't like, I'm depressed, help me. It was like, I'm here, like I'm at neutral, and I feel like I could be up here, mm-hmm. right? And I think that you can help me get there. And that's usually the differentiation between like therapists and coaches. You know, we're very forward thinking, and we just want to get you to your highest potential always. Mm-hmm. Like, we want you to be living your best, most epic life. But also, I think, and this is where I think you find your special sauce with different coaches, because we all specialize in something. And my special sauce is I'm going to get you to live your most epic life, but like, we're going to keep it super real, and we're going to feel our feelings fully and not apologize for who we are. Right. And so maybe it's partly because of who I am, but also because of the work I've done with therapists, that I like to blend the two and morph my teachings to kind of reflect that reality.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of, if you can speak on this, and maybe you can't because it's a confidentiality thing, but what are some of the common things that moms come to you and are struggling with?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely speak on that. Not breaking any confidentiality here because I'm not talking about anybody's name or anything. But so we've got mommy guilt, mm-hmm. anxiety, overwhelm, working mom guilt, mompreneur, work-life balance, money mindset, relationships after babies is like my favorite topic. So that's a big one. Family dynamics is another huge one that I grab by the horns because, again, I did so much work on it myself. So I do a lot of like mother-daughter stuff yeah. that's going on. Yeah, I mean, those are just the basic ones. I think it's really just some limiting beliefs that pop up. I was just talking to somebody else the other day, and they said, like, what do you think is the number one mindset, issue that moms face? And I said, like, this idea that you have to cap your joy, right? And I just posted like an Instagram quote about it, like, drink the champagne of life. So like the example I use is, let's say like you're at a party and you just like had a glass of champagne and somebody's like, oh, I see you have that. Your glass is empty. Like, can I top you off? And you're like, oh, no, just another tiny sip. Like, I've already had a glass. Like, I'm good. And you're like, well, why you're at this party. You could have another glass. You're like, no, I shouldn't. I've had a glass. Thanks, but no thanks, right? And mm-hmm. I think that is what a lot of moms do. That's what I find myself doing it still now, and I'm like correcting it instantly because I'm like, whoa, why did I just say no to that thing? Like, why was I scared to go on another trip or have another date night or get a sitter or whatever it is, like give this experience to myself? Why did I think like, well, I've already had one this month, I don't need more, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I got a sitter so I could go to yoga last week, so I don't need to do that again this week because that would be just too much. That would just be selfish. That would be over the top, right? Mm-hmm. So that a lot of women like struggle with that, and they feel really uncomfortable, and they feel they're just not happy, but they can't really put their finger on it. They don't know what it is. And so after a quick truth chat, we can usually figure out where they've been capping their joy too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it makes me think just looking, you know, at the site and at your pictures and things like that, that you definitely, you're very honest about the dark side, or what was the term you used earlier? The dark feeling.
Human moments.
The dark human moments. But then you obviously, you seem to really approach life through a lens of celebration.
Yeah.
So why do you think that's so important for moms to celebrate? Gosh. And just to live a life of celebration?
Well, I think a lot of that comes from my work that I've done. Like, I don't know that I always did that. My personality type, I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram. I'm a 7, just in case that is helpful. But, you know, I'm like...
I know, I'm sure listeners, it's something that I've heard enough times that I really need to do it.
You should do it. It's, you read it and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How do they know me? But, you know, so I do tend to live on this, like, I'm not risk averse. I'm all about just, like, embracing this one incredible life, right? And so the work that I've done over the past 2 years as an entrepreneur especially has challenged me to celebrate my own milestones in my business, right? Because I think women are so ambitious, where a lot of us are just like go-getters and we're multitaskers. And, you know, once you become a mom, you're like, okay, I raised a tiny human, I built a tiny human, raised it, and I'm doing whatever else at the same time, whether it's like keeping the house clean or saving, you know, the world's orphans or whatever it is. Like, mm-hmm. we have different stuff going on all at the same time, and we just expect that of ourselves. We just go for it, right? So I noticed that I had this pattern of, you know, setting my sights super high on a goal that I intended to reach, and then I would blow through that goal and never even celebrate it because I'd be already looking at the next one. Mm-hmm. And then 3 goals down the road, I'd totally burn out and be like, oh, I suck. Like, you know, I didn't reach this newest goal. And somebody would be like, well, did you just celebrate the last 3? I'm like, no. But those were easy. But they didn't seem easy when I set them, but they were easy when I blew through them, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the nature of an ambitious woman, which I think I am to a fault sometimes. And so celebration is something that I've been really deliberate about integrating into my life. And I've had a lot of support and accountability around that with my entrepreneur, with my mastermind, and my just the friends that I have that are part of that world. They'll, you know, call me out and be like, did you celebrate that win that you had last week? And I'm like, well, no. So, you know, bridging the gap there. Because again, like, socially, I was always, I love celebrating like birthdays and stuff like that. But yeah. I think when it comes to your personal achievements and like mom achievements of, okay, like I set this intention to make more quality time with my husband, and this month has been our best month in so long, and we feel so connected. And then stopping, acknowledging that and celebrating it and being like, wow, how lucky am I? It just enhances the experience so much more. So whether it's in your business or your relationship or mom life, it really just makes your life better.
I love that so much. I think that I'm the same. I'm very ambitious, but I literally celebrate everything. Like, just last night, I sat down with my husband and was like, none of our kids died or went to the hospital today. I feel like we need a glass of wine to celebrate that.
Yeah, it's true, though, because, I mean, this might be a little, like, somber, but, like, if you ever go to a funeral and people are just, like, drinking and like they throw a huge party, and I noticed, like, a few years back, the biggest parties I was going to were, like, weddings and funerals were mm-hmm. the most celebratory. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, let's not wait until we die, you know. Let's just, what are you saving it all up for? Save it, you know, cash in on that every day if you can. What's gonna happen? Nothing.
You know, one of the things that I think also is so hard, I know this is something I struggle with tremendously, but it's being okay disappointing people. I'm getting better the older I get, you know. Like, I genuinely love the meme, like, zero F's given, for this reason. It's a reminder to stop worrying about it so much, right? But it's hard. That's really, really hard. So do you have a few tips for me and any other mama bears that might struggle with that?
How to disappoint people. I have a lifetime of experience with this. So just kidding. Not that much. But there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, the first thing that came up when you said that, and I know I've made a video about this too that doesn't even mention this, but anytime I'm disappointing somebody, I'm acutely aware now that I'm also saying yes to something else. So I find recently the way that I disappoint people the most is if it's like a social plan, right? Like, I'm going to meet you for coffee, a friend, or like a business acquaintance or something. And then once in a while, I'll look at my schedule and I'll wake up that morning and I'll feel really heavy. And I'm like, whoa, I've clearly said yes to too many things. Mm-hmm. So I need to say no to something. And I'll look at, okay, what can I drop? Like, that's the first thing I do, like, non-emotionally, right? Just, what can I let go of? And so I'll start canceling those coffee dates. I'll cancel a couple, you know, the people that go first are the ones that aren't paying you for their time, right? Like, clients obviously are the last things I cancel. And then friends that, if it's not something that's making me feel light, then obviously I'm doing it more for the other person or out of obligation than I am because I really am super excited to connect with this friend. But when I cancel, I never feel guilt anymore because I immediately am aware of, like, what did I just say yes to? Like, oh, freedom, personal freedom. Like, I feel so much lighter immediately. Or, I don't know, my husband and I had we've signed up for this hypnobirthing class, and there's only 5 at the birth center. And last week was our 4th one, and he had been out on the boat all day. He's a marine biologist. And I was feeling anxious that, like, all day. And I was like, what? Why do I feel anxious? And I'm like, I haven't spent time with my husband. Like, I don't feel like we've had any, like, night for at least a week where we've just, like, sat down together, made dinner, just had that relaxing night. And I was like, I need to say no to hypnobirthing. And I had paid for it. And I was like, Kev, saying no to hypnobirthing tonight. But I don't feel guilty about whatever it is, the money or the obligation or whatever, because immediately I took stock of what I had created space for. And it was like, oh, I'm so glad I now have this space for time with my husband, which is really important, you know? Obviously, it was making me a lot happier at that time.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. I like that. Mm-hmm. It's a total just shift in perspective that really, and that's, I don't know that I would say it's easy, but.
No. I think it's like muscle memory, right? Like, the more you do it, the more you change your perspective around it. Like, you know, for years, I said yes to everything for years. And that's part of why my first pregnancy was so rough, because I was just like, I still have to do everything and be everything to everyone and say yes to everything. Yeah, it's just, once you do it, you just get better and better at it. And you just start to notice, like, oh, wait, you know, I could say no to this and then feel guilty about it and wallow in that. Or I could say no to this and figure out what I just created space for and focus on that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like shifting your mindset there.
Yeah, and then you start to trust that impulse kind of when you're like, oh, this is something. So
yes, I love that impulse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so Gervais, the idea of the soul tribe, this is something that you recommend, that you applaud and celebrate this mm-hmm. group, right? This tribe that kind of holds us and supports us and encourages us. I love that. So tell us about your personal soul tribe and maybe how the rest of us can find this in our own lives.
Okay, so my personal soul tribe, like I mentioned earlier, is really varied, and so I have different women in my life that I lean on for different things, and I think that is actually works out really great for me, because then none of the people in my life hopefully feel too overwhelmed by the needs that I have of them, right? So I have friends that I have, entrepreneur friends that help me through that. I have the new mom friends that I met when I was a brand new mom, who I would talk to about napping schedules and sleeping. And then I have, you know, my best friends, my two best friends, who I talk to about postpartum depression and things like that. But my really ultimate goal of mine is to create this safe space for the women who are in some way or form part of Shiny Happy Human. So we've got, or I've got a private Facebook group, the Mommy Soul Tribe, that your listeners are welcome to join. I'll just give the little approve.
Wonderful.
I try to create this safe space to talk about the shiny, the happy, and the human. So we talk about, I make videos, I talk about postpartum depression, but I also am talking about, you know, new mom stress, or I have on Wednesdays, it's like Soul Tribe SOS. Like, what's going on in your life that you need support around as a mom? So this could be literally like, I can't get my kid to eat vegetables, or my husband and I have been fighting. Does anybody, you know, have any advice? And the beauty of that is, and again, this is something I'm able to do because I just started the group, and so it's still intimate, is I hop in there and I do like spot coaching for women. Mm-hmm. So I think the Soul Tribe is about empowering each other and supporting each other, but it's not just about, you know, somebody telling you what to do. It's like mm-hmm. the me too has to happen in yes. there. The reflection, you're doing an awesome job, has to happen in there. The reminder to celebrate every small win, like my kid just took a 5-hour nap, that has to happen in there, right? Like, I know, that was a whole day. No, just kidding. That's too long for a nap. But you know what I mean? It's like there's a lot that that moms need, and it's not just brand new moms, it's all sorts of moms, but my goal is to give them a safe, non-judgmental space to experience the full range of motherhood and just have support around whatever it is that they're looking for.
The description too, I love that, how you, or the description, you really do emphasize that this is a no judgment zone. If anything sounds like judgment, like bye-bye, you know.
Delete that. I will be deleting that.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, what I think you have to say that in order to feel, or in order to invite people to feel comfortable and feel like they can be themselves. And that's when, you know, the relationships are made and progress, personal growth happens.
Yeah. And I also want to say for our listeners too, if this is a new thing for you, you actually can form really intense and amazing relationships with people you've never met.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. I think, you know, I noticed that when I was blogging as a new adoptive mom, because that's kind of the same thing. It's a very unique experience. And so I ended up befriending other adoptive mom bloggers, and genuinely 5 of them are coming to my house next week. And we've gotten together every year for a week, you know, where we just get to hang out still. But so if you're new to this, you can totally form these really rich and beautiful lifelong friends before you meet face to face, you know? So I just encourage our listeners that sometimes your soul tribe, it often includes people in your area, your physical geographical area, but don't limit yourself there. You know, that's why Leslie and I started this podcast. We want to be part of that soul tribe. That's why you started Shiny Happy Human. And you know, I already feel totally connected to you. Like,
I know. Oh, I'm like, we're friends, right?
Yeah.
I'm invited next week.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, like, don't limit yourself. There's far too many beautiful women to get to know and to, you know, invite into your life and into your heart. So don't limit it to, you know, a geographical location.
Such a good point. Thank you for pointing that out. Because I forgot, I have already forgotten that it's been almost a year and a half since I had my first experience, like through a group program, and there was a private Facebook group and everybody was in there. And I was like, this is weird. We're all just like sharing and being friends, but we don't know each other. And now it's like, I'm like, doesn't everybody do that? Isn't that? Because I met some of my closest friends, entrepreneur friends, again, because that was my need at the time. That's where I had that specific niche that I was like, I don't know any entrepreneurs. I need to find some. And since then, I've met them in person 3 times at retreats. Yeah. So it's really a great support system to tap into, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
At all hours of the day and night as well.
Exactly.
It's great.
Sometimes it's, yeah.
Somebody in Australia, she's awake when you're sleeping. She's responding to that by the time you wake up. It's awesome.
Well, good. Gervais, we always ask our guests, just so we can kind of get to know them a little bit better and keep up with things. What are you currently obsessed with?
Okay. What am I obsessed with? So I would start with my homemade yogurt parfait that I mentioned to you guys, my recipe, which is... jam on top of Greek yogurt and walnuts, raisins, and granola. The main ingredient in there that I actually need is the walnuts, and everything else is just the icing on top.
Yes.
So I'm really into doing that right now. I've been doing it every single day at the same time every day. It's kind of this weird pregnant obsession. And then I guess another pregnant obsession, just ride that wave, is my snoogle. Have you guys experienced
it?
Wait, I'm almost positive that's what it's called. If it's not, it's going to be really... I'm 98% sure it's this pillow.
I hope it's called a snoogle. That is a great name.
Pillow that is shaped like this. So you put it like under your head, under your belly. It goes all the way down the length of your body and then curls up around and you put your legs. Kevin, my husband, calls it like my boyfriend because it takes up as much room in the bed as I do.
Sure.
I haven't, like, spooned my husband in, like, 3 months because I'm like, excuse me, make room for the snoogle, please. But, like,
gonna snoog it. Snoog it every night.
Snoog with the snoogle. Oh, good. I can't wait to look that up.
Yeah, Google that.
Do you have to be pregnant to use it?
That's what I was gonna say.
You don't, because I've used it pregnant. But I think I got the most, the full effect of it when my belly started to get big. Looking over at my desk, I would say crystals. I've been really exploring crystals lately. We just took a family trip to California and spent some time in San Francisco. And I have a good friend there who I was like, can we go to a crystal shop? Like, I want to like see all of these things and touch them and see what they're all about. And so I bought a few and I actually love them. And I've got like some jewelry that I wear.
I saw that, of course.
And I just think like, you know, why not? Like,
exactly.
This potentially has magical powers. Like, I'm going to use it. And it's funny, like, I sit at my desk while I coach my clients on the phone, and I have this little plate of all my crystals, and I'll, like, intuitively, like, always grab one. And then sometimes halfway through, I'll suddenly, like, grab a different one, and I just, like, try not to overthink it. But I just like them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I want to know more about them. There's so much to know about them that I don't know, but.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I love that. Well, Gervais, where can people find you? We'll link to everything in the show notes, by the way, Mama Bears, but why don't you break it down for them?
Well, I'm pretty much on every social media channel you could think of, but I'd say like the main places, you know, I've got my Shiny Happy Human Facebook page and that Mommy Soul Tribe Facebook group, which is where I'm the most active. I'm in there every day, multiple times a day, answering everything, sharing my own human moments and like lessons, beautiful lessons from them. And then Instagram, Gervais Colmos is the handle. And I use that as like a nice blend of personal life and professional life, since they're all pretty much the same for me. I make weekly videos. This is Real Life Thursday videos. Have you guys experimented with Facebook Live? It's like...
I haven't, but I've watched, like, Nick Kristoff does one.
Yeah. Oh,
so I've, like, watched his, but no.
Yeah. Well, maybe don't watch mine right after his, because they're probably really different. But he's like a New York Times bestselling author. But yeah, I've been doing like a mommy real talk that way. So I like to do a lot of video to give my mom is a really good sense of like who I am, what I'm all about, what my message is, and how you can work with me. So those would be the main ways, I think.
Great. Awesome. And you have invited our listeners to go to the Shiny Happy People Face, or Shiny Happy, sorry.
Shiny Happy Face. That's actually the perfect description of my face.
Shiny Happy every day. Human Facebook page. So yeah. They just asked to be added to the group. Is that what needs to happen?
Yeah. So the page should have a link to the Facebook group. But if you go to shinyhappyhuman.com, the website, one of the tabs at the top says free Facebook group. And you can just click there and it'll take you to the Soul Tribe.
Perfect.
Invite, and then you just request to join, and you're in.
Wonderful.
So great.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Gervais. Yeah, this is wonderful. You. It was so great to meet you and hear about your story.
Hopefully we do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bogle.
Oh, I'll send it. We'll link to that. Believe me.
Link to that.
That's necessary. And you know, I think if I take one thing out of this, it's that, Leslie, you gotta stop saying when you want your second glass of wine, just one finger of
two fingers
wine. Just two fingers. You know, she said don't limit it. I think she's telling us to don't limit that second glass of wine. If I heard her correctly, I might be hearing that wrong.
I don't know.
You're not pregnant. Somebody exactly.
Just two fingers. That's all. But I really mean a full glass. Yes, for sure. All right, Mama Bears, today we dare you to build your soul tribe. If you already have a really solid soul tribe, then we dare you to reach out to the members and remind them that they are an essential piece of your life. If you feel like there's room in your tribe for a few more members, then we dare you to find them. It's no secret that we believe in a community of women being one of the most powerful sources of good in this world. So get on to building yours. Life is busy. Nurturing friendships often feels like just one more thing to add to your plate, but we can't stress enough how necessary of a thing it is. So today we dare you to make time. When you make time for building your soul tribe, you really are making time to build your own soul. It's worth it. And so are you. And so are the members of your tribe. Thanks for being a part of ours, Mama Bear.
That's right. Hashtag soul tribe. Let's make that trend.
All the snaps.
Yeah.
Big-ish right there.
Exactly. So, Mama Bears, please, please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. It takes just a few seconds, but we really can't stress enough how much it helps this podcast. Also, join the conversations we are having online, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are everywhere. And, you know, tell us what you thought about this episode. Should we have Gervais on every week? Woo-hoo! Should she be a contributing member to some segments?
I think so, too.
So let us know. Hit us up on one of the social media outlets and make sure you check out Gervais's as well. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back Wednesday with our midweek Mama Bear Mini. Have a great week.
Have a great week, Mama Bears.
Thank you so much.
That was
good job.
That was fun.
You guys get to do that every week.